All right, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice, sunny, crispy day, amen. Every day is a good day to be thankful, amen. Christians should always be thankful. I had a marker in here where I was going. You can open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter number 18, if you would. Big John. We used to tell the kids in Sunday school, Big John, and then First John was Little John. I guess Second John was Middle John, and Third John, I don't know. But anyways, but it's good to be here. We're going to look in this chapter 18. This, of course, is we're going to see where Christ gets betrayed, and the Garden of Gethsemane, and his arrest, and all that. But the point that we're going to, a couple points we'll pull out and look at, is just how all the different circumstances that we see Christ in the Gospels are all examples for us, amen. I mean, as Christians, the Bible tells us to walk as he walked, and things like that, that he walked as an example for us. And one of the things that I had heard someone a couple weeks ago say, he made a comment that somebody asked him if he believed in God, and he said, I try to act like I do, you know? And really, do we act like we believe in God, or do we just say it? Words cheap, amen? Talk is cheap. We can all say, you know, anything, but the way we behave, our behavior, our actions, our attitude, that's really what we're about, amen? But the Bible tells us in 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked, amen? And 1 Peter tells us concerning Christ, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, amen? And so, of course, none of us could ever live perfect, amen, and sinless and all that, but just the everyday behavior and the attitude of Christ during his earthly ministry is something that, according to the Bible, we're supposed to strive for, amen. And so, anyways, we'll read John chapter 18, we'll read this, and we'll go back. We'll start in verse number 1, and then we will go down to verse number 11. The Bible says, in verse 1, it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, come thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Verse 4, Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Verse 5, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Verse 7, then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Verse 10, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Amen. And so, we see the situation that is taking place here with the Lord, Peter, James, and John with him in the garden. A couple points that should little facts that we should know as Christians, amen, is that in Ezekiel 28, the Garden of God, that's where Lucifer, the anointed cherub, introduced sin into the universe, amen, when his pride, when he said he would exalt himself, he would take over the throne. Then in Genesis chapter 3, the first Adam, amen, Adam, brought sin into the world by disobeying God as far as eating the fruit. And then we see now a third time where there's a garden of significance where the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, obeys God and makes many righteous because of it, amen. And so sometimes just in your own personal, you don't know what to study. Sometimes you can just look up something that might not seem relevant, but as you study it, anything in the Word of God is going to strengthen you, it's going to build you, it's going to make you a stronger, better Christian, amen. A knowledge of the Scriptures is a key thing. And so we see the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, with the circumstances that he's in here. And the first thing that we notice in verse number 2 is that Jesus' habit of prayer, amen. And for all of us, anything we're going through, the first thing we should do is always saturate things in prayer, amen. Prayer is the thing that where we commune with God. Prayer is the thing that settles us when we're disturbed and distraught at times where we don't know exactly what's going to happen, amen, and we can get peace from God. And so having a dedicated prayer life, a consistent prayer life, is a real important thing for the child of God, amen. And really, we can just contrast Peter and the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. God told them to pray, amen. He said, go pray. And he stepped aside and prayed off on his own. He came back, and they were snoozing, amen. They were sleeping. And what happened? The Lord Jesus Christ, amen, faced the enemy. He set his face like a flint, went to Calvary. Peter, maybe if he was praying, he wouldn't have denied the Lord. He wouldn't have cursed. He wouldn't have lost his temple, wouldn't have lost his testimony, amen. And so we can see the contrast there between the two, amen. But the thing that we notice about Jesus is his habit of prayer, amen. It said that he went there oftentimes, amen, oft times, amen. It was a lifestyle for him, amen. It was a habit, and for us, we should have a certain time of the day, the night, whatever works for you, where you have that quiet time with God, amen, where you have that closet time, whatever you want to call it, devotion, amen. And that's that time where you can draw close to God, amen, and have a nice custom, not just some ritual that, okay, I did my ritual for today, and then for 23 hours and 45 minutes of the rest of the day doesn't enter your mind, amen. Prayer is supposed to be a attitude and a state of mind that we have, amen. And so Judas also knew that Jesus went there, amen. Jesus didn't let the circumstances affect his having his prayer time, amen, with God, being alone with God. And really, the whole, like we prayed this morning and mentioned, the whole thing like with Ukraine and Russia, and even when COVID first happened, and so many times there's things that there's nothing we can do. I mean, what can I do for Ukraine? I can pray, amen. We can pray. And we look in the gospel in Luke chapter 2, Anna. Remember it says she was 84. She was 84 years old, and she had been a widow. And for over 70 years, it says she served the Lord, fasting and praying. So praying is serving the Lord, amen. There's not a lot of things we can do, but one thing we can do, if we can't go, is pray for the ones who go, amen. If we can't do, we can pray for the ones who do, amen. And so it's praying and having a good prayer life is a ministry, amen, that you can have. We had this woman at our church in Webster, and if you needed someone to pray for you, you always asked her. She just, this woman had like a glow about her. She, God bless her. She was in her 80s and she was still taking care of like a 50-year-old kid who was, you know, a deadbeat. I mean, she, poor woman, she, it should have been the other way around, you know. But when her name was Mrs. Durros, and man, when she'd send you a card out of nowhere, saying, just want you to know I'm praying for you. And what a ministry she had, amen. And you would get that card sometimes and it'd bring you to tears because you'd have something going on you didn't even tell anybody. And it was almost like she knew and like God was using her. So don't ever underestimate prayer, amen. It's so important, and it's important for us to keep the closet warm, amen. Have a nice warm prayer closet, a nice closeness with God. So God forbid when things do happen, you don't get rattled and shook so bad, amen. And you're just close to God, and you just continue doing as you always did. It doesn't, and we've all had times in our lives where we know we've been drawn back from God or whatever, then all of a sudden something happens, and boy, do you get religious, amen. All of a sudden, boy, you're praying, or you're running around with a Bible on your head. I mean, you just, because now you want God to help you, amen. And many times he does, of course. He knows our foolishness, and he knows our ignorance that we can have, but it's just so much better if we can try to have that custom, amen, to go into that secret place and spend time with God, and it helps us, amen, to be stronger, amen, to confront that. It's like our military, they'll go to boot camp and they go through training, and even after they're out of boot camp, my son-in-law, he's in the Air Force, he's been in 13 or 14 years. He's always getting shipped to Texas for more training, amen. That's how they put on their armor, and that's how they train, amen. And for us, it's through prayer. That's how we get our armor on. That's how we're able to face the battles, amen. And so the example of Christ, if we're supposed to follow him, amen, he had a very consistent prayer life, amen, and didn't allow anything to happen. And one of the things we notice is while he's having that prayer time, the enemy shows up, right? And that's what happens. You get ready, oh, I'm going to go pray. And then all of a sudden, the phone rings. Or, oh, I got to go have my prayer time. And something else happens. Or, I got to go have my prayer time. And you got to shut the TV off. And they're talking about something. Next thing, you're sitting down. And, you know, and it's so important, amen, for us to try to be disciplined, amen, as with especially with our prayer time, amen. And so, again, that's just one of the things Jesus left us as an example. Amen. I think they moved the clock up on me. I was going fast. All right. Second thing, amen. I only got five, and I can do them fairly quick, amen. Second thing is that we see in verse number four is Christ's knowledge of the future, amen. Look what Jesus said. In verse 4, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Amen. Jesus had a knowledge of the scripture. Amen. Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. In Luke, Jesus said, all things written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Amen. And so having that knowledge of the scriptures, amen, gives us peace because we know, amen, what's going to, I mean, we might not know what's going to happen about the war or this or that or the day you die or something like that. But as Christians, we know the future, amen, to a degree. We know the rapture is going to happen, amen, and maybe we'll all be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll all be gone, and the mortal will put on immortality, and now we'll be able to transport ourselves by the speed of thought. We'll be able to materialize and dematerialize. We'll understand every language, things like that. I mean, I'm looking forward to some of that stuff, amen, that's going to happen to us in the future, amen. But we get that knowledge same way Jesus had it, amen, through a knowledge of the scriptures, amen. The Bible tells us as New Testament Christians that the Spirit will lead us into all truth, amen, and the Holy Ghost of God, amen, that moved the men to write this King James Bible, amen, is the same Spirit that is teaching us. So the author of the book is teaching us, amen, what he wrote and what he wrote about, amen. And so as Christians, having the knowledge of the scriptures, amen, 2 Peter 1:19, it says we have a more sure word of prophecy, amen, that you do well to take heed, amen. And so you can never, ever know too much about the Bible, amen. You can never, ever spend too much time in the Bible, amen. And God will honor that, and that will, along with your prayer, along with Christ in you, amen, along with the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, will make you a strong Christian, amen. Because at the end of the day, what's it tell us over in Romans? That we're saved and we're supposed to be conformed to the image of his Son. Amen. And so we allow this process to just continue to take place. Amen. And so having the knowledge of the scriptures. Amen. And you guys have heard me say this before, that the Bible's like tomorrow's newspaper. Amen. I mean, we know things that physicists and scientists and stuff. I mean, we know there's going to be a rapture, amen. We know there's going to be a tribulation period, amen, where God judges Israel, amen, the time of Jacob's trouble, those 7 years, amen. We know at the end of that time that there's going to be, that Christ is going to return. There's going to be a 1,000-year millennial where we're going to be on earth ruling and reigning with Christ. I mean, we know things that people don't know, amen. We know where a man comes from, amen. We know where we go as a Christian when your time comes to across the Jordan. The Bible tells us it's like falling asleep, amen. And so we know how we're going to die. We know absent from the body, we're going to be with the Lord. Amen. We know there's going to be a day where there's a great white throne judgment. And everybody that's rejected Christ, amen, is going to be cast into the lake of fire, amen, forever and ever and ever. We know there's a heaven. We know how to get there, amen, by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. For as many as what? Receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, amen. Those sons, you know what? In the Old Testament, the angels were called sons of God. He's given us the power to be called the sons of God. It don't mean we're angels, amen. But we have a spiritual, celestial nature inside with our human nature. That's why we're a creature now, amen. New creature, amen. So learn the Bible, amen. You can never know too much, amen, about the Bible, amen. And that's an example Christ left us, and that will benefit us, amen. It helps us. It helps us as Christians to have that word like a treasure in our heart, amen. And we'll look in verse number 6. So we see Christ's habit of prayer. We see his knowledge of the future from the scriptures, amen, knowing that all things that should come according to the scriptures, amen. And then we see in verse number 6 his power over his enemies, amen, in verse number 6. Verse 5, they answered him. He said, whom seek ye? Verse 5, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he. Look what it says. They went backward and fell to the ground. Amen. And so when Jesus said that, he manifested his power in some way upon them, amen, and knocked the soldiers, Judas, all of them to the ground, amen. And to have that, I know it doesn't come up to the limit that, of course, Christ's power, but I think it's amusing anyways, you know, in the last 10 years or whatever, when all the, like, Marvel movies come out, like Iron Man and Iron Man and Doctor Strange or whatever. All those people, they all, like, you see them and they get in a fight and they got chi, like, coming out of their hands, you know, and it shows like the electricity coming on, and they fight with each other with this. Amen. We see Jesus with the real power, amen, manifesting his power, knock down a whole group of soldiers, amen. And now we can't do that, amen. But the thing we know about that is the power that Christ has over his enemies, and Christ is our Savior, and he's with us, and he promises to be with us and to bless us and to protect us, amen. We have, again, the knowledge of the scriptures. Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, amen. No tongue that rises against you shall prosper, amen. All through the Bible, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him, amen. And so just like Christ had that power over the enemies, amen, we have that protection upon us. We've been washed. If you're saved today, you've been washed in the blood, amen. And you've got that shield of blood over you, amen, that precious blood of Christ, the blood of Christ that it tells us in Revelation, and they talking about the devil. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, amen, and by the word of the testimony. And so you learn how to claim those promises, and you have a sense of peace inside, knowing that God will protect you. A couple of weeks ago, I went to the doctor. I got bone spurs in my neck and things like that. This whole side of my face is numb all the time. So if I look like I'm stroking out or something, I'm not. But and they talking about in the future surgery. And I mean, I'm not afraid to die because I know I'm going to heaven, but I don't, it's a weird thing I have. I don't like that being put to sleep thing. I don't like somebody being in charge of bringing me to the brink, you know, and bringing me back. And so I was kind of having a little panic attack inside myself about the whole thing. And then God just spoke to me, you know, that he's with me, he's in me, he's going to be there. And in my mind, I had like this picture, like, of me laying on the operating table with a couple doctors and nurses, and the whole room being full, shoulder to shoulder, of angels and God with them. And it brought me peace, amen. And so I was like, all right, we'll do it. But, you know, we're human. But we might not have the power like Christ did to knock that whole band of soldiers and Judas over, amen. He's living inside of us, amen. And we're sons of God, and we got that power of God inside of us, amen, to help us. And so, anyways, and I heard a preacher say one time, the thing he didn't understand is after Jesus knocked them all over, they got back up and still wanted to arrest them, amen. I think if that happened to me, I might say, you know what, I think we're making a mistake here, but whatever, scripture got to be fulfilled, amen. And so anyways, that same Christ, amen, you got the promises all through the gospel, amen, of Christ saying he's with us and in us, and God's with us and in us, and he'll protect us, and not a hair on our head will be hurt. And that's why it's important for you to study and claim those promises, amen, as your own, amen, and claim the that precious blood of Christ, amen, that cleanses us from all sin, amen, that by his stripes we're healed, amen. I know the context is spiritually, but many times he does heal physically, amen. And so it helps you, amen, to trust in Christ and trust in his promises and trust in his word. God honors faith, amen. Faith, our faith honors God, and God honors faith, amen. And so, anyways, and so a couple of the examples Christ left us, the habit of prayer, so important, knowledge of scriptures, so important, amen, having that confidence and trust that he'll protect us from our enemies. And me and Pastor Speroni could stay here for days telling you the stories of us back in the old days, 25, 30 years ago, street preaching in Boston, and all the different situations that came up to us. I mean, people coming up with a broken bottle and saying, if you don't stop preaching, I'm going to stab you in the throat. And then all of a sudden, and this was a friend of mine, he married me and my wife, and he just went, what's the matter, man? We're just trying to tell people that Jesus loves them. And the guy just dropped down on his knees and started crying. But a second before that, he was ready to stab him, and he broke the, you know, and tons of times where, and even you read them old stories, George Whitfield, a guy in Boston Common pulling a gun on him and telling him to shut up because he was street preaching. And he said, I'm not going to. And the guy pulled the trigger, and the gun blew up in his hand. All it did was ripped George Whitfield's shirt, but it's better than a bullet going in, amen, and killing us. So many things God can protect us and take care of us. So it's important for us to honor him, amen, by having faith. Another thing we notice in verse 8 is his care for others. Look at verse 8. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go, amen, their way. And Jesus was like, you know what? This is between us. Don't hurt them. One of the things, The thing that Jesus most cared about was being able to care about others, amen. All through the Bible, Christ was so selfless, and none of us could ever live up to that, as being as selfless as he was. I mean, we can strive, amen, and we can try. And when God sees that, he'll help us and bless us and be with us. The Lord Jesus Christ, if you seek me, let these go, amen. And that shows that Jesus cared about his disciples. That's a lot of people feel like that's why he had left the whole crowd. Imagine if they tried arresting him in the city. There would have been a big riot because there were people that, mobs that hated him, and there was multitudes that believed in him because they saw miracles. They saw what he did. They knew he was a good guy, so to speak, amen. And so Jesus out here alone, amen, but he cared for others, amen. One of the things the Apostle Paul says in Romans 10, he said that my heart's desire and prayer to God was for Israel to be saved, amen. And he says in another place that if he could exchange his salvation and be accursed so that Israel could be saved, he would do it, amen. And so that's one of the qualities that Christ has, that as Christians we should try to have a love and a care and just a benefit of the doubt. We know people right now, they're hostile, amen. Everybody's hostile, everybody's hateful. What good is it for us to come to church and go, oh yeah, that was nice, I need to love people, and then get down the street and you're like a raging maniac again, you know. And so we got to try to carry that with us, amen, that fruit of the Spirit, that love and concern about the welfare of others, amen. And so that we can see Christ. I mean, even at the worst time of his life, hanging on the cross, beat up for hours, scourged, whipped. The Bible tells us in Isaiah that his face was so beat, he was unrecognizable, amen. And then he's hanging on that cross and he's like, woman, that's your son. He's worried about his mom. Go to be with John, amen. Make sure you take care of her. He got the thief on the cross over here. He knew one of them was sincere. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. The other thief, he wanted him to prove he was God and take him down. He just wanted to be bailed out of his circumstances. That's not the kind of Christian we want to be, amen, where we just want God to show up when we need help. And then when things are good, we're like, thank you. I heard a joke years ago about this. A roofer was up on a roof and he stripped the roof and all of a sudden he started sliding down. And he was trying to grab and he couldn't grab nothing and he was sliding and he started praying, oh God, please help me. And he's like, God, I promise I'll start tithing. He's like, God, I promise I'll go to every service. And then all of a sudden he got hooked on a nail. And then he went, never mind, God. And that shouldn't be us, amen, as Christians. Our relationship and our love should be sincere, amen, and without hypocrisy and things like that. And so his love for others, his care for others. One of the stories I love in the gospel is the four men that brought their friend and they couldn't get in the house and they busted open the roof and they let him down. It shows that sometimes it takes more than one person, amen. It took four people to get that guy to Christ, amen. And it took physical work. It took, and so sometimes it takes more than one of us. Maybe some of us are praying. Maybe the one that's in contact can call someone and make contact, and someone else can say, I'll pick you up, whatever, and put some type of effort into our Christianity, amen, instead of just we always want to be in our comfort zone and we don't want to be inconvenienced, and, you know, that's the way it's going to be. And lastly, so we see his love for others. And then in verse number 11, we see his submission to the Father's will. Verse number 11, then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Amen. And so the Lord here was submissive to God's will. He knew he was going to drink the cup of the wrath of God, amen, when he was going to become the substitute for sinners, amen. He knew God was going to punish him instead of punishing us, amen. And yet he still yielded to the God's will for him, amen. And submission and yielding, and you know, we always sing all the invitation songs, is you all on the altar, amen. And we sing that, and we sing it, and you know, we're going to give an account of those words that we said, is you're all on the altar. One of the ones I've probably sang it 100 times in 30 something years, have thine own way, Lord. Really? At the moment, yes, but what about when I leave, you know? And that's I guess, my point. And I'm not cross with anyone or trying to pick on anyone. I just think as Christians, it's important for us to take Christianity serious, amen? There's enough phonies out in the world, or as the Italians call them, the fugazis, you know, the paper tigers, you know, and the paper gangsters, and talk is cheap, amen, as I said earlier. So if we say we love God, we should try to act like it too, amen. And that's my point. And so Jesus left us his example, amen, of prayer, of his knowledge of the scriptures, of his power, so we can trust and have confidence and faith, his love for others. I mean, nobody can even match that, amen, what he went through in yielding to God's will, amen. And as Christians, we should try to yield to God's will. And if anybody's here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the start of the whole thing, amen. You could pray from 6 in the morning till 6 at night, but if you're not saved, you're not going to heaven because you did that. Christians do good deeds because they're saved, not to get saved, amen. We do good works because we're saved. We don't do good works to get saved, amen. You need to receive Christ, amen, as your Lord and Savior. So if you've never trusted Christ, today would be a great day, amen. We got all kinds of fine deacons and gentlemen and ladies here that can help you and show you what the Bible says, amen. Not their opinion, not what they think, what the Bible says about that, amen. And so we would encourage you, because we all have to make that first step. And for the saints, let's just try to follow his example, amen. Let's try to be a little better tomorrow than we were today, amen. And just try to always strive, amen, as Christians.